So I picked a really weird verse as my key verse, which is Matthew 23, 37, which literally has nothing to do with motherhood. But maybe it does. Maybe it does. And I believe very strongly that the Bible is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproofing, rebuking, and you know, equipping the you know, the man for every good work, right? And so I think there are certain applications that we can draw from the Bible, even though the particular text in question is not directly related to that issue. Now, in Matthew 23, 37, the context is that Jesus is condemning the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders for their hypocrisy in that day. And so here's what it says in Matthew 23, 37. Jerusalem, Jesus cries out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now, again, as I mentioned, there is definitely a particular context to this passage that has an application that we're not going to be making today. But this passage is not in any way directly to motherhood, as I said, but perhaps we can draw an interesting kind of an interesting aspect out of this verse. What I find particularly fascinating about Jesus' words here is that he uses the metaphor of a mother hen to express the relationship he longs to have with his children, right? It seems that the best analogy that he has at that specific moment when he's crying out to Jerusalem and he's fighting against these, you know, hard-hearted religious leaders of his day, he says that how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? It seems that the best analogy that he had at that specific moment is an analogy that characterizes a mother's care. I think that's very interesting, given that that verse is not directly related to that. But when Jesus cries out to Jerusalem, he expresses the almost the love of a mother for the children of God, the people of Israel. And so I think this is very fascinating because it really highlights attributes of God that we don't always tend to focus on, because we tend to think of God as Father, because that's how Jesus referred to God, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and on it goes. We look at God as a heavenly Father and as a loving Father. And for sure, that analogy of Father is a profound one, because the love of a father is very profound. But today's Mother's Day, so Father's going to have to take a back seat. Sorry, guys. There are multiple instances in Scripture where analogies are used of God in a way that reflects feminine characteristics and motherly characteristics. And those analogies, I think, are just as powerful as the analogies of God as Father. Now, as a quick, funny story, I remember my wife had sent me to Stop and Shop some years back. And I hate shopping. I'm the kind of guy that my wife has to text me the list. And I'm like, wait, what? What do you need? And I'm kind of, I have to like double space the lines because I'll like skip what I need. So I have to like, and I call my wife like 50 times. She might as well have just gone herself because it was like she's with me anyway, because I'm constantly calling. Is it this kind? Is it that kind? Is it this yogurt? No, it's not that yogurt. It's this yogurt. So I'm quite hopeless in the supermarket. But anyway, this particular time she sent me to pick up some stuff, she gave me quite a list. And so I remember coming out of the supermarket with bags, like you could barely see my face. I had all these things, you know, and I was pushing it along on the cart and holding some on the side. And a man approached me and in the parking lot. And he says, "Do you have a few moments?" Now, of course, he wasn't very good at reading body language because I felt like I was going to fall over from all the things I was carrying. But I said, "Sure, let me drop these things off to my car first." And so I dropped my stuff off to the car, put it in, and he's waiting there patiently. And so I walked over to him. I said, "Hey, you know, what's up? What do you need?" And he says, "Well, I just want to share with you a message, you know, about God." And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, well, I'm a Christian, and maybe this guy's a Christian. Wants to share the gospel with me. I don't know. Maybe it was something about me that made him think I was some low down dirty sinner that needed the gospel or something like that. But he said something very shocking. He says, "You know, that the Bible teaches that we have a Father God in heaven. And I said, yeah, I'm familiar with that. And he says, but did you know that the Bible also teaches that we have a Mother God as well? And I was like, my antennas were going up. This guy tried to teach that there were two gods, God the Father and God the Mother. Now, of course, my mindset, you know, was ready to go into, okay, now we're about to get into some really interesting conversations. But one of the ways in which he tried to demonstrate that there was a Mother God was that he began to appeal to those passages in Scripture which spoke of God in feminine terms, in motherly terms. Now, of course, this person was bringing a false message. The Bible only teaches that there's only one God. And of course, the Bible uses many metaphors to describe God. You know, for example, I asked the gentleman, so there are verses in the Bible that seem to suggest that God has these motherly qualities. And so you're drawing from this that maybe there's this Mother God. And so you're making this distinction here. There's a Mother God, a Father God. What about a bird God? Is there a bird God as well? And he was like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, the Bible describes God with the characteristics of having wings and that we, as his children, hide under the shadow of his wings. Oh, wait, that's just a metaphor. Ah, so that's a metaphor, but you're taking these motherly characteristics quite literally. And so that made him think. And of course, on and on the conversation went. But I do think what this guy was trying to bring out, of course, he was doing this incorrectly, was the importance of these motherly characteristics of God. For just as God is a father, and he shows the tender care of a father, in like fashion, God is like a mother in many regards. Okay? And of course, these are metaphors, right? The Bible often uses metaphors to highlight some attribute or characteristic of God. As John 4:24 tells us, God is spirit. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have hands. But the Bible speaks of the hand of the Lord, or the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. So we have these wonderful analogies. But I think this powerful analogy of a motherly love, the hen gathering her chicks, these are very powerful metaphors that can create for us a standard or guide as to what it means to be a mother. And I think that's very, very important. Okay, so again, Jesus, in quoting, where he's declaring, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he uses this very interesting metaphor. Here are some more scriptures that kind of use these motherly analogies. In Deuteronomy 32:11, it says, God cares for his people like an eagle hovering over her young. Just picture that. An eagle hovering over her young. And that is the kind of love and care that God has for his children. Now, sorry, ladies, as graceful as you are, you don't fly, but in a very real sense, you hover over your young. You love your children. You shower them with affection and all sorts of different ways that one can go about that. I think that picture captures very beautifully the kind of care that a mother has for her children. In Psalm 22, verse 9 through 10, it says, God will never forget his children, like a mother will not forget their nursing child. And if you just had a child, of course, my wife and I, we have a very young child. I think he's 8 months, 7 months. I keep forgetting. My brain, my quarantine brain is fried right now. But there is a care that we see when a mother is nursing her child. And this is one of the beautiful things that we see both physically. We could observe the beauty of the connection and powerful love that a woman has to a child, obviously, that the child partakes of the mother's own body. I mean, that's an amazing and powerful image in and of itself. But to compare God in that very same sense, that just as a mother doesn't forget the child that she nurses, so too God does not forget his children. Think about that. The Bible is giving us a very real and tangible example to look to so that we can better understand how God loves us. How amazing it is that it's through the analogy of the love of a mother that exemplifies God's love for us so powerfully. I think that speaks volumes. In Isaiah 66:13, it says, God comforts his people like a nursing mother. Or in the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, you guys maybe can relate to this, God experiences the anger of a mother bear who's been robbed of her cubs. I like that one, right? Imagine being robbed of your children and the anger that would arise in your heart because of your love for your child. In like fashion, God's love for you, God's love for his children is a, I want to use this carefully. I don't mean this in a literal sense, but it is a violent love in the sense that when the people of God are in trouble, God is angered at the sort of distress that his people can go through, that he acts on our behalf. The Bible also uses analogy of the warrior who removes his sword out of his sheath to protect his people. So you have that, of course, hopefully mothers aren't removing the sword. Maybe the spoon, you know, the spoon is being removed from its sheath as you chase away those who are afflicting our children. But of course, this imagery, I think, is very powerful. Now, I do believe that this truth, this idea of God using the analogies of motherhood to express his love, I think this truth is twofold, all right? And I think that one of these truths is really coming from this angle, that the attributes and character of God sets the standard for mothers to follow, and two, family, the family of the mother, sees clearly the love of God through the love of the mother when she loves unto the glory of God. I'm going to say those again. We learn that the attributes and character of God set a standard for mothers to follow, and family sees clearly the love of God through the love of the mother when she loves unto the glory of God. And mothers should seek to be like God. For it's written in Scripture as a command. God says in 1 Peter 1:16, it says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And when the Scriptures also command us that whether you eat or drink or in anything you do, do unto the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And so whether you eat, whether you drink, whether you work, whether you play, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, the Bible tells us that we are to do it unto the glory of God. Now, of course, this is much easier said than done, okay? I sure am not always a father unto the glory of God, and this is an area that we all work towards. But the standard has been given, right? I think that's very important. It's very easy for us to fall back on our imperfections. Well, I'm an imperfect person, and we begin to look at our own finitude and our own imperfections as to the reason why we don't do this all the time. And that's normal, right? Again, I point to myself. But God has given us the standard. God has given us that model to follow in his word and in the way in which he has expressed himself, his faithfulness and his love and care for his people. I think that's very, very important. Now, mothers hold a very special place in our lives and, of course, even in the Scriptures. Indeed, the love and the care of a mother is often used metaphorically to have us picture in our mind the love of God for his people. However, I think there's a very interesting thing we see in the ministry of Jesus with regards to mothers. And it's a kind of a paradoxical presentation, if you think about it. On the one hand, the Bible uses these powerful motherly metaphors for the love of God. And of course, that's true and it's very important. But I think it's very interesting. Jesus tends to act paradoxically and in a roundabout way, honors his mother, but at first doesn't look like he's honoring his mother. So let me know what you think about this. This is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. And here's what it says. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak with him. And someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you." And here's what Jesus replied. He said, "Who is my mother? Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Wow. Imagine Mother's Day. Jesus is chilling out with his disciples. And on Mother's Day, his mom comes and knocks on the door. "I want to speak to Jesus." And Jesus says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Is it not those who do the will of my Father?" Let me ask you a question, which of course you're all muted, so you don't have to verbally respond, but I'll do my teacher thing. Back when they train us to be teachers, we are trained to ask a question and give a good moment of silence. I think it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, a couple of seconds to allow the students to think and reflect upon what's being asked. I'll give a couple of seconds for you to think about this. Now, based upon what I just read, Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? If not those who do the will of my Father. Let me ask this question. Did Jesus dishonor his mother here? Mary wants to speak with Jesus. They say, your mother's here. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Did Jesus dishonor his mother? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, Mississippi. Think about that. Now, of course, we can't say that he did, for such an action would be sinful. And we know from Scripture, Jesus never sinned, 1 Peter 2:22. And as being born under the law of Moses, according to Galatians 4:4, he had to follow the law. And we know that Jesus did this perfectly. That's why he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's that pure Lamb, that undefiled Lamb that had never sinned, right? So we know that Jesus didn't violate the law. But what does the law teach us? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. But of course, Mary, being a woman of God, a beautiful picture of a mother who's obedient to the Lord that she served, check this out, was honored. She was honored in the words of Jesus. The mother of Jesus was honored in that Jesus obeyed Mary's God. Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father. And he pointed out the reality that the true family of God are the ones who show the fruit of their love by doing the will of the Father. And I think this interesting truth is expressed in Luke chapter 11, verse 27 through 28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd raised a voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you. She's speaking to Jesus, and blessed are the breasts that nursed you. What a compliment. I don't know if you would think that's a compliment today, but definitely would have been a compliment back then. Blessed is the woman who bore you, and blessed are the breasts that nursed you. But then Jesus replied similarly, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey. That is not dishonoring to one's mother, but to the mother who desires above all things to honor God is one who relishes the fact that her children love God more than they love her. I think that is a very beautiful, beautiful truth. What does it mean to be a loving mother biblically? It is to point beyond yourself to the great God that we serve in everything that we do, and that we reflect the love of God in our own lives, in the role of mother, in the role of father, and as children, in the role of children. There's a great image in the family of God. The attributes of God is the standard of family. This unity in plurality, if you think about it. We are one family, but there is plurality in that unity, just as there is plurality in the unity of God. For as Christians, we worship one God. There is but one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Yet this one God has revealed himself in multiplicity. For the Father is called God. The Son is called God, and the Holy Spirit is called God. This beautiful unity in plurality. We see this unity and plurality reflected in the family, and the roles within the family point back to the God in whose image we were created. To function as a godly mother or a godly father is to reflect your God in all that you do. I think that's a very beautiful thing. Mothers are seen in all their glorious splendor. Think about this. Mothers are seen in all their glorious splendor when they are imitating the one true and living God in whose image they were created. In a very profound sense, when living intentionally unto the glory of God, the love of a mother is a glimpse into the very heart of God and reflects his love for us. How wonderful it is, right? That God has blessed us with mothers who love us, but reflect his love for us in that love. Now, of course, someone could say, Yeah, Eli, that sounds nice and poetic and cool. You know, you're trying to make mothers feel special, which, by the way, you should feel special. Today I would argue a little more special than guys, since you guys have been blessed with the wonderful and painful gift of childbearing. you know, something that I thank God every day that I don't have to go through. My wife will tell you when I have a little headache, I'm out of commission. I'm in bed. Oh, I'm so weak and I have to have my rest. And of course, Brianne, when she has a headache or a fever, she's still holding a baby, getting stuff for me because I'm clumsy and all over the place. And she's still, you know, trucking along like a trooper. To that, she is worthy of honor in our house. But some will say, not all mothers love their children. Right? It's very easy to talk within the context of a place where hopefully your mother expressed love to you. Hopefully your mother taught you of the love of God and the love that she expressed to you, right? But not all mothers love their children. Indeed, not all people have mothers. And so how do we put into practice these biblical truths and these analogies of motherhood with regards to God's attributes and how we should reflect that? How do we deal with the idea that not all mothers love their children or not all people have mothers? Not all people have mothers. This is true. And in those cases, such a mother is not reflecting the attributes of God in their life. A mother who does not love her child is not acting obediently in reflecting God. But I think there is a great profundity in the statements of Jesus. Mothers are a blessing, right? But our blessing does not depend on our mothers. I'm going to say that again. Mothers are a blessing, but our blessing does not depend on our mothers. For those who have no mother, no father, in fact, have a mother and a father in God, who is their creator, who loves them. That even if you did not have a mother, you could understand the analogy of a loving mother. And when scripture teaches us of who God is in these analogies, we can understand that we have a loving father, a loving mother in the person of God himself. Mothers and fathers may fail us. As we see in the world, we fail our children sometimes, or, you know, mothers who don't love their children fail their children completely. But the Lord will never fail us. A mother's strength is a blessing. But the scriptures teach us in Psalm 20, verse 7, a military analogy. Some men trust in horses and some men trust in chariots, but we will trust in you, O Lord. Some men trust in mothers. Some men trust in fathers. Some men trust in family and friends. Some men trust in all sorts of things that they use to define themselves and to give them meaning. But as great as mothers are, as great as fathers are, as great as family and friends are, ultimately, God is our foundation. God is the one who defines us. God is the one who gives us meaning. And mothers and fathers honor God when they point beyond themselves and they point their children and their family to the God who they serve. These are very, very profound truths that we all fail in some regard, myself included. But what did I say at the beginning? God in his grace has given us the standard. As we fall, may we get back up and work towards that standard. And you will fall. And I do fall. But we get up. It's by his grace. And every time we doubt the love of God in our lives, let us picture the beautiful metaphor of the love of a mother, the love of an eagle who broods over her eggs and protects her children. Let those beautiful pictures encourage us when we feel alone. And if you have no mother or father, let those truths still encourage you, because that same God who uses those analogies doesn't give us an excuse to doubt his love. Because if those analogies don't work for you, how many analogies of God's love do we have in scripture, right? It doesn't have to be mothers or fathers. God is a faithful husband. God is faithful even when we're not faithful. So what a beautiful standard God has given us to follow. With that said, I want you to reflect on the attributes of God. Now, what is an attribute? An attribute is the characteristic of a thing. It's that which makes a thing what it is. Okay, so what are the attributes of a rock? A rock may have the attributes of roundness. It has the attributes of hardness, right? You throw it against a wall or through a window, it breaks. It has attributes. And of course, the attributes of the glass. It has attributes in which when one attribute conflicts with another attribute, the glass breaks. God establishes and defines how these things work. They reflect those things, what they are, what makes them what they are. The attributes of God are that which make God, God. And as God being the perfect being, as one Christian philosopher in the Middle Ages, he says that God is that which none greater can be thought of. God is the greatest conceivable being. If you could think of something greater than God, then that's God, right? God has set the perfect standard for us. And this perfect God, who is above and beyond all things, has revealed himself to us in the scriptures, and more profoundly in the person of Jesus Christ himself. And he has communicated to his children through these analogies that we could understand. This is why Jesus was so popular with the multitudes. Now, of course, he wasn't popular with the religious leaders, right? We know that, right? They crucified him. But why was he so popular with the multitudes? Well, because he communicated to people through simple truths, relatable truths, some of which included the analogies of a motherly love. And so this great God, to show us who he's like, what he's like, who he is, has given us the pictures in our lives where we are constantly reminded. If you have a mother, if you have a father, try to look in those relationships to see if you can take a glimpse into the heart of God. Of course, it is a foggy glimpse because all men or women are sinners. We're imperfect. But when mothers are shining and they're on their A game, right? And fathers are shining and they're on their A game, you might be blessed with a glimpse into what it means for God to love you. And so encouragements to mothers out there, continue to walk as God being your standard, honoring God by pointing your children. Don't matter how old they are. If your children are older, they're grown up and they have their own children, you're a mother forever, right? You never stop being a mother. And to your last dying breath, may one thing be imprinted in the minds of your children when you're gone, is that mom always pointed beyond herself to the God who she serves. That's what it means to be a mother that honors and glorifies God.